Hallelujah. You could be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Daniel. That's a great anointing upon you. Praise the Lord. We welcome you this morning, and we want to be sensitive as well in the service in regards to the condition outside. It was quite a whiteout in Lorraine. Got better as we got here. I thought this was the snow belt. It got changed or something because it was pretty tough out there. But we want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for being here in the presence of the Lord. I wanted to say a couple of things. Ages 18 to 25, you're invited in the Lorraine campus Thursday night. They're having a Christmas celebration and want all of you to come and be a part of that. And is there like a gag gift exchange or something? And they wanted you to come. And then also, Debbie Gibson is recuperating from her double knee replacement. She's doing marvelously well. She's walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Isn't that awesome? But out in the foyer, we want you to know that there are opportunities for you to minister to that family by preparing meals for the next 2 weeks. And if you'd like to do that, you can talk to them at the desk, figure out how to do that, and they'll work it from there. Now, is this microphone working now? It is? It's on? Yep, good. All right, because I don't like holding the microphone. I like holding my Bible. Hallelujah. Did you have the Bible this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Psalm 63. Thank you, Brother Kane, for helping me today. And Tossie, thank you for helping me today. Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. How many can say amen?
Amen.
My lips shall praise you, and thus I will bless you while I live, and I will lift up my hands in your name. In that short little narrative, David, writing these words, speaks 11 times about you or your. You or your. And I found that David was doing something that is a key to walking in absolute dominion. And that is, he had eliminated all of his options in life. He determined that he would serve God and him alone. He said, you are my God and you alone. There are no others. In other words, I've crossed the line. I have eliminated all the options in my life. In this particular psalm, David wrote this while he was in the wilderness, which is very interesting to me because there are times in our life when we are in a wilderness situation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And there is nothing else. There is no one else. There are no other options. And in the wilderness, if you don't have God, you don't have anything. And David said, you alone are my God. What a time, what an opportunity that we live in, that we can eliminate the other options, our plan Bs of our life. But notice what he said in that verse 1b. He said this, he said, early in the morning will I seek you. You know, we read that particular scripture and we think, well, that's when you get up in the morning, you know, you got to rise early before the sun rises and seek the face of the Lord. And no doubt we should do that. But he also talks about early, and that word early ministers to me because early in a relationship, you ought to be seeking the Lord about that relationship. Early before you make the decision to make that investment, you ought to be seeking the face of the Lord. In other words, don't wait until you're messed up. Don't wait until the thing is so broken down that you got to go to prayer and start calling on God to say, God, you got to help me out of this mess. Yeah. But early in anything we do, before we do anything, we seek the face of God. I'm among people here this morning that are God seekers, that are God hungry. You know, the Bible tells us that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. But there's no filling unless there's hunger. There's no filling unless there's thirsting. So David declared, "You are my God." Why don't you with me right now lift your hand up and just declare, say, "You are my God." Come on, tell him, "You are my God." Over my marriage, over my finances, over my physical health, over my children, over my life, over my future, over my present, over my past. You are my God, and there are none other, Lord God. You alone are it. You know, when I woke up this morning, I made a choice. I made a decision that God and God alone would be my source. I've determined that I'm not going back. There is no back in my life. There is only now and in my future. My God is taking us into our destinies and into our future. David understood this when he was in the wilderness. He understood that in order for him to have dominion and operate in dominion, he was going to have to make a commitment to determine that he had to cut off all other sources. You know, today we hear a lot about networking. We hear a lot about how people need to connect with other people. And yes, that's true because there's gifts that we can give to one another. But listen, don't start relying upon the people that you know more than the God that lives inside of you. Don't start relying upon what you can do as an option more than what you know only God can do. And I've got an announcement for you this morning. You know, we've been believing for St. Jude's Church. And the day after we had our first service on September 23rd, we went and looked at that facility and said, "God, this would be a great church. This would be a great place for church on the North Coast here on the east side." And they asked 3.5 to 3.7 million. I said, "Lord, you're going to have to send some kings from the east with frankincense, gold, and myrrh so we can pay for this thing and we could build a testimony in this region for the glory of God." Well, the kings didn't come. And I've been waiting and I've been waiting and they haven't got here yet, but they're on the way. And the Lord said, "All you need to do is be the bright and shining star. You just keep preaching and you just keep declaring." And so I got a phone call this week, and it was from a particular person who is managing that property. And they said, "Are you still interested in the property?" I said, "Absolutely, I'm interested. As a matter of fact, I want to buy it. I'm just waiting on my kings with the gold, frankincense, and the myrrh." And they said, "Well, okay, maybe I've got one of your kings for you." I said, "You do?" He said, "Well, yeah, they dropped the price down to $2.5 million. And if you want it, you can buy it." I said, "Well, $2.5 million is more than what I want to spend. I want God to pay for it." He said, "Well, here's the deal. I've got a person who wants to buy 5 acres that if you buy it, they'll buy 5 acres from you for $1 million or maybe even 1.2. So that'll bring the price down to 1.3. I said, "Well, that's pretty good. I've got one king. All I need is another king that has 1.3. And then we go on over there this week and buy that property." So I just wanted to know if any of you here are my king. Look at somebody and say, "Are you a king in disguise?" Say, "Look, just write the man a check for $1.3 million. You know, that's not a lot of money. And God, how many know that if you sowed that into the kingdom, that God would bless you? Now, that'd be a blessing to me, but he'd bless you too. So here's the point I'm trying to make. While that's a testimony and things are moving that direction, I immediately, because of my experience, because of my connections, because of our assets in our ministry, about $6-7 million worth of assets. Our debt ratio is less than $1 million. So we could easily, I could call the bank tomorrow and say, "Get me $2.5 million, sign the paperwork, and I could buy that building." And don't you know that when he called me, my mind began to work. I said, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to call up my bank. I'm going to get a $1.5 million. I'm going to get a deal, get a short-term loan on the other million, sell it to that medical group for $1 million, get that million back, have a mortgage for $1.5 million. He said, "Read Psalm 63, verse 1. I said, "What does it say?" He said, you alone are my God." You see, we can try to make things happen in the natural. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that God wants to be your God alone. God wants to prove himself strong. And I said, Lord, if it's taken me this long to learn this, I don't want to be a man that try to make things happen. I want to just sit back and let God make it happen. So I just want to trust in the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning thinking that you've got to help God out, that you've got to somehow make things happen, that you've got to add your ability. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is lift your hands and say, Lord, you alone are my God. And I cut off all other options, because when it happens, when you come through, when you do this for me, I'll be able to stand and declare the wonders and the glory of my God. Amen? Amen and amen. This morning at 4 a.m., I received a phone call. A young couple in our church, Jeff and Tracy, went to the hospital and delivered a beautiful baby girl. But she began to bleed internally. She had a tear inside. They didn't know how to stop the bleeding. She lost so much blood, they gave her a transfusion. Then it complicated, and she had a blood clot, and they were going to rush her to another hospital here in Cleveland, and they were calling for prayer and help us. We don't know what to do. And they said, I'm going to lose my wife. And I said, she's not going to die. She's going to live. I said, but Jeff, you've got to call on God. You've got to cut off all other options. You need to believe God. And so we began to pray and we began to believe. And even on the way here, I was on the phone talking to Jeff, and it was touch and go. And she was in 8 hours of surgery, and they thought they had to do a complete hysterectomy upon her, and said, no, Lord, she's only 23 years old. It's not time for her to do a complete hysterectomy. She wants more children. No, she's not going to die, Jeff. She's going to live. And Jeff began to get bold in the Lord. And even before his wife went into surgery, he got a hold of the doctor. He said, Doctor, I know you've got a lot of expertise, but I want to pray for you before you go in and have surgery on my wife. So he prayed for his doctor as he went in to perform the surgery. We were on the phone together. He said, she's stable. She's in surgery, probably up to 8 hours. They're not sure exactly what all they'll have to do, but just pray. And I was talking to Jeff. I said, brother, we are going to pray. We hung up. Tina said, let's pray now that her uterus would be saved, that she will not have to have a hysterectomy, and that she will be out of surgery. We prayed. Paul and Sue in the car, we agreed in prayer. We said, God, we have no other options, Lord. We don't look to any other gods of this world. Father, we don't have any other source. You alone are our source. 11 times David said, you are your. You are my God. There's nothing else. I woke up this morning with just Jesus in my heart. I don't have any other place to go. Listen, I've come too far now to go back. I only know God and God alone. It's his word that I trust in. No sooner than we hung up, the phone rang again. All right. And he said, Pastor, this is Jeff. I said, yeah, what's going on? And I thought, Lord, what is going on? She said, I just got to tell you, as soon as we hung up, one of the attendants came out and said, listen, we just want you to know we found the tear inside. We are repairing it now. We're saving the uterus. Hallelujah. She has stopped bleeding, and she will be in recovery in about 1 hour. Oh, come on, somebody, give God praise. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift up both hands to heaven and say, you alone are my God. Come on, tell him again, you alone are my God. Over my family, over my finances, over my body, over everything pertaining to me. You alone are my God. Now come on, praise him. Hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah. It was like the three Hebrew children. They had to make a decision. Would they bow and worship a God by the sound of music, even though they knew that that was not a God? But they had read in the Word that thou shalt have no other gods before you. Thou shalt not make any graven image under yourself. You shall not worship these foreign gods. And they made a decision. We will not worship. And they had to decide whether or not they will believe what they believe, because the fiery furnace was facing them. And they determined that they would rather go into the fire than they would be to compromise in this world. God wants to burn in your spirit a conviction, a commitment to break loose of all options in your life. Listen, I am born again to the bone. I am born again and spirit-filled all the way through, not part way. I got up this morning as a Bible-believing. Bible-believing. Come on now. Devil-stomping. Come on. Tongue-talking. Holy Ghost Christian. I'm not lukewarm or not even just a little bit hot. I'm on fire, right? Come on. You got to make that decision. You got to make that choice. And the three Hebrew children, when they went into the fire, found the fourth man in the furnace, and they came out with not even a smell of smoke. No fire kindled upon them because they had made a choice to loose themselves from the options of this world. It was like David when he was facing Goliath and Elah. He had to take off the armament of Saul. He had to release himself of all the other options in his life. He said, you know what? I can't move with this on me. Some of you aren't able to move with stuff that people are trying to put on you. You see, you have other denominations you've come from, other backgrounds of churches and religiosity that's gotten a hold of you. It's like Saul's armor that's just hanging on you. It's time for you to shed that stuff and say, you know what? I'm not going back. I'm not relying on what I learned back there because I know it wasn't truth. I'm going to stand on the word of God. And it was David who said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would haunt the army of Israel? And he made a statement that is so powerful. He said, is there not a cause in Israel? Is there not a cause in America today? Is there not a cause for us to live right, to love God with all our heart, soul, might, and our strength? Is there not a cause today to be able to speak, thus saith the Lord, and not be intimidated by the ideologies and the psychology of this world? Amen. Last Sunday afternoon, out in Colorado, at New Life Church, Murray, came into that church after shooting some people up in YWAM, 70 miles north, into the church there in Colorado, and began to open fire. You might have saw it on the news and heard about it. This is a church where John Bevere attends and his family, a church of 10,000 people. And we found out on the news how this security lady, this police woman, she took this man down and she had a weapon and she was able to take him down and probably save many, many lives. But that next day on Larry King, on CNN, this is where the world thinks about us. They begin to talk about how that this psychologist said that the churches, fundamental churches, Bible-believing churches, people like yourself, people like me, are making our young children and young adults go crazy. That's the exact word that she used. She said the teachings of the church are brainwashing kids today and causing them to go crazy. Excuse me, it's not the video game that shows people blowing up others. Oh, it's not the bad fact that you left your wife and went out with some hussy because you couldn't happen to yourself. It's not the fact that you abused your daughter and you let someone else take her into a situation where she should not. You mean it's not the fact that you're an alcoholic and you can't stop shooting up? Oh, those things don't cause our children to go crazy. It's when we preach, thus saith the Lord, or when the Holy Spirit is moving upon a child, that's what makes them crazy. No, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, we better understand something. There is a spirit in this world that hates the Holy Ghost, spirit-filled people of God that are on this earth. Those like David who have said, you and you alone are my God. And it doesn't matter what Eliab thinks of me. It doesn't matter what Saul says. It doesn't matter how many spears are thrown my way. It doesn't matter how many want to stone me at Ziklag. It doesn't matter what I'm dealing with in my moments of loneliness when I and God are alone together trying to work out the wilderness experience. I know one thing. I was once lost, and now I'm found. There was a day when I did not know God and didn't know that I know Christ. And God picked me up in my own blood, swaddling there in my own death. And he washed me and cleansed me. And he brought me into himself. And he called me his own. And today that I would stand and have other options and other gods before him. You and you alone, God, are my God. In 2 Samuel, it was 23. David talking about his mighty men. His name was Shammah. And the Philistines would come every harvest time. They would wait until Israel would fertilize, and they would harvest the crop, and then they would come and they would destroy Israel and they would steal the crop. And every year, every harvest, Israel would run. The Bible says they would flee. And Shammah decided one day, you know what, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to allow somebody to intimidate me anymore. I'm not fleeing. I'm going to stand my ground. And Shammah stood in the middle of his harvest, in the middle of his bean field, and he declared, "My name is Shammah." And Shammah means God is with you. Yes. He said, "I am the one whom God stands with." Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get to a place in our life where we become the Shammahs of our homes, the Shammahs of our families. Men, you must rise up, stand in the middle of the harvest over your children, over your wife, and declare and decree to a real devil, to a real power that's in this world that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. I am the blood-bought. I am the redeemed. And I will not be intimidated. And no one will steal my family from me. Amen. Say with me, you and you alone are my God. Just look at somebody and tell them that God, He alone is my God. There is none other. You see, God told us to have dominion. The only way we can take dominion is to allow our soul to be released. You see, God has placed in each one of us the ability to have dominion. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 said, "Let us create man in our image that they may take dominion." There is dominion in every one of us. You were never meant to be dominated. God created us to have and take dominion. There's no real reason why a bottle of Jack Daniels should have dominion over you, sir. There should be no real reason why internet pornography should rule your life. There's no way that anger or bitterness or unforgiveness or memories of past pain and hurt should rule over us. Because deep down within our heart, God has created us to take dominion. But why are we in captivity? Why is it that today there are so many who are addicted? There are so many that are broken. There are so many that are under the hand of a heavy taskmaster. We read in Jeremiah, if you want to look at it, chapter 29 in verse 11 and through 14, it was that God had plans for us. Did you know that? He said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and thoughts of not evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope." You know, He has plans for us. Continue, please, with the next scripture. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray." Everybody say, call. Say go. Say pray. That's what He said. "Then you will call, then you will go, and then you will pray." You've got to call, and you've got to go, and you've got to pray. In other words, you've been under captivity as a result of disobedience, as a result of sin. As a matter of fact, maybe some of us aren't even born again in this room. Or we have a religious mindset. We have a mental assertion towards God, but we really don't know Him. We really don't know His power. We really don't know His intimacy. And we're in captivity. And if you'll notice in the scripture, the next verse, please. You'll notice in the scripture, God said this, "And you will seek me, and you will find me, when you search for me with part of your heart." No. Yeah. With all of your heart. There is something in our hearts that releases us into dominion. There is something in our spirit, something God has deposited in us as His creation, that when we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, when we pour our hearts out before Him, when we seek Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of our strength. You see, this is not a kingdom where we can give God parts and pieces of us. This is a kingdom that requires everything. Just put your hand up to heaven and say, "You alone are my God." You see, you cannot have options this morning. You can't look at plan Bs. We can't begin to look at things of this world as a source for what we want to do and what we need to accomplish in our life. It's God and God alone. And when we seek God with all of our hearts, then He said, we're going to hear. Listen to the next verse, 14. This is the key verse. "I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." Oh, glory to God. "I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord." Let me tell you something. God wants to bring us back. God wants to put something in us in this hour where we no longer are be dominated by things in our life. For example, if you used to be an alcoholic, I want you to know this morning. You can have dominion over alcohol.
That's right.
I can pour a glass of whatever in front of you right now, and I could be a drinking buddy, and you'll look at me and walk right past.
Amen.
Because it won't have any more power over you.
Amen.
You can see a screen of pornography come up, and you'll walk right past, or you'll turn the other way because it won't have dominion over you. Somebody can push your button or get your goat. Do you know what I'm talking about? And suddenly that button has been disconnected. That goat belongs no more to you. Why? Because you have dominion over it. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brook, O Lord, so my soul pants after you. In other words, a deer will override its natural instincts to get the water. To get the water, it will override, even though there might be an enemy present, a predator behind the bushes. It has such a craving, such a desire, such an earnest need for that water, that it thirsts for that water, and it will expose itself, override its natural instincts of fear, and it will receive that which they have need of. God's saying the same thing to you and I today, that the natural instincts of sin, the natural tendencies toward perverseness, the natural desires towards the flesh can be overridden. How? Not when we just attend church once in a while. The national average of evangelicals attending church is 2.4 times a month. Not when we read our Bibles just 10 minutes a week. No, that's the average. Christians pray less than 5 minutes a day. But when we go and when we call and when we pray and when we search for the Lord with what? All our hearts. When we begin to search for God, He said, you will find me. I will listen to you and I will give you dominion. Let me tell you something. We are about to walk in to a greater dominion on the earth that we've ever seen before. Psalm 63 and 1 said, my soul thirsts, my flesh longs. I have to have a hunger and thirst before I can ever expect to be filled. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And He says, I want to fill you, but you have to hunger and you have to thirst. You say, well, how can I get this hunger? How do I get this thirst? I found this out to be true. Whatever you feed will grow, and whatever you starve will die. You and I have to develop a taste for the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, lift your hand up and say, you alone are God. I'm a participation preacher. Try it one more time. You and you alone are God. Give somebody a Holy Ghost high five. Come on, say, yeah, God is alone. He alone is my God. You see, dominion doesn't occur without communion. You might want to write that down. Dominion will never happen without communion. You see, it was Adam whom God walked with on the cool of the day, and they began to fellowship together. As a matter of fact, even after Adam fell, remember that? God came looking for him. Adam, where art thou, Adam? I missed my time with you, Adam. And he hid himself from the Lord, and he covered himself. But the communion that Adam possessed with God was his dominion source. He had dominion over the plants. He had dominion over the animals. He had dominion over the earth. He was blessed when he rose up and blessed when he laid down. He was blessed in his coming in and he was blessed in his going out because he was in communion with God. But then he decided to choose one of his options. He fell from the place of God alone being his source. He determined, what do I need to come to God for when I can become one myself? I'll just be God. I'll eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was tempted to become like God, just like in Isaiah 14, Lucifer himself, who fell from his glory. Why? Because he wanted to ascend. He wanted to ascend to be like God, descended into the place of God. Adam decided, you know what? Who needs a God when I can be one? What a generation we live. Where people are a source unto themselves. We don't need a God. We're not dependent on another God. Well, God, we're not dependent on another person. We're an island to ourselves. We could figure this out for ourselves. And so Adam partook of the tree, and the moment that he did, his spirit died. He lost communion with God. And what happened as a result? Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I believe it's verse 25, says this. Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. Why? Because Adam broke communion with God. Immediately he lost his dominion. Now in order to grow a vegetable, now in order to produce a crop, a harvest, it was by the sweat of his brow. Thorns and thistles began to grow among his life. Because all for the purpose that he considered the options in his life rather than solely, completely trusting upon the Lord. Today I want to look at a couple of people as we continue to think about this thought. Elijah himself. Elijah was a powerful man. The Bible says that he prayed that it would not rain. And the Bible says it did not rain. And it did not rain until he prayed again. But it's powerful the way he prayed that it would rain. The Bible says that he took a posture of great humility and put his head between his legs. And he began to cry out to God. And he would tell his servant, go and see if there be any rain. No, master, there's no rain. He said, go look again. And go look again, go look again, go look again, go look again. He said, well, I only see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, well, you better hurry, because I hear the abundance of rain coming. Why? Because he was a man that James the apostle understood. The effectual, fervent, righteous prayer availeth much. I'm telling you today, when you have no other options but God, oh my Lord, your life will never be the same. Hallelujah. Because your world will change. And the people around you will be impacted. It was on Mount Carmel that Elijah called fire down from heaven. It was Elijah who imparted to kings and raised up prophets out of his spirit. I'm telling you, there is a moment in time when we can walk in this dominion again.
Yes.
God wants us to walk in this dominion again. That we don't have to have counseling in the church. Oh my God, once you get born again, I mean really born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, cast them devils out, filled with the Word of God. You don't need counseling. You just need intimacy with the Holy Ghost and pouring out of your spirit. You will be people like Elijah who imparts to kings and to prophets. Let me declare this to each one of us today. How many have children or grandchildren? Wave your hand at me. Oh, glory to God. I'll say that you'll have so much dominion that you will impart to your kings. Your grandchildren are kings. Your children are kings. They're queens. They're prophets. And out of your spirit, out of your dominion, you will impart to them the same spirit that Elijah imparted to those kings and prophets at the time. This is a great time to serve the Lord. This is a great moment to come to church, and I'm glad I came. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful moment to be part of the kingdom of God. Lift up your hand and say, you alone are my God. Oh, I'm telling you, church, today, if you'll cross the line, if you'll not look back, if you'll say with all my heart, I will seek you, you will have that Elijah anointing. I love the woman with the issue of blood, because sometimes if we won't give up on our options, God will take them from us. The Bible says that she spent all that she had. Remember that story? 12 years, was it? I think she suffered in this thing for 12 years. Spent all that she had. Looked at all the options. And finally, when she ran out of options, she began to pray in her heart. She said, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment. See, her heart began to pour out before God. Her heart began to cry out to God. She began to search for the Lord with all of her heart. She said, if I can just cry out to God, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And indeed she was. And what about the woman Hannah? In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 15, I think it is, or 11, she said, I'm not drunk, sir. I'm not been drinking. I'm just pouring out my heart to God. When's the last time you poured your heart out to God? I mean, poured everything out you have. Just empty your heart before the Lord. And God blessed that woman as a result of her pouring out her heart. And I love Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, the story of a persistent widow. You know, it's funny how that story starts out, because dominion was in the hand of the judge. But there was a shift in dominion. There may be something you're facing today where dominion is in the hand of another. Dominion is in another situation, another place. And you need to take dominion. But the Bible says that he began to pray. Can you put that scripture up? Do we have it? Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. If not, I'll just take my Bible and I'll read it. I'll do it the old-fashioned way. Hallelujah. Luke 18, are you there? Luke 18. And then he spoke a parable to them, and the men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though he did not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. The judge started out with dominion, but because she poured her heart out before God, she went home with dominion. She ended up with dominion. She came subservient. She came as one that was subject to. But her heart poured out, and it shifted from being the tail to the head. She suddenly was above and not beneath. Oh, pour your hearts out to God. Cry out to the Lord in the place of your wilderness. You alone, oh God, are my God. There is no other option for me. I trust in you, oh God. I know that Jeff and Tracy today are saying, Lord, we have no other options. The doctor said she's going to die on the operating table, but God said, no, she'll live. But you have to throw away all of your options. Pour out your heart before God and say, God, I have no other resource in my life. And what about Peter and John? They were on their way to pray? Yeah, they were on their way to pray. You know, we forget about that. We talk about the lame man. He went walking, leaping, and praising God. But Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray, to pour out their hearts before God. You know, on the way to your pouring out, God will work miracles through you. Our focus is not the miracle. Our focus is pouring our heart out unto God. But when we pour our heart out unto God, miracles take place around us. They were arrested for this miracle. They were told not to preach and teach in this name any longer. And they were persecuted for it. And they answered and said, no, 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 no. You think we're going to stop? They found them back in the temple again. And they were continuing to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. After being persecuted, they went back to their brothers in Acts chapter 4. And the Bible says, what happened? When they got there, they told them what had occurred. They said, oh, we need to pour our hearts out before God over this situation. Sometimes we talk too much and pray too little. Sometimes we get on the phone and get on the internet and we text too much. We have too much coffee with the wrong people. And everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to tell you what to do. Everybody wants to give you their opinion. But honey, I just want to find somebody who will pour their heart out to God with me. Let's spend it all. Let's just lay it out on the altar today. Let's just give it all to God. When I get up from this prayer time, I don't want anything left of me. The only thing I want is God to hear my petition and to hear my cry, because he said he will lead me out of captivity. And God will give me once again dominion. Come on, lift that hand up one more time and say, you alone are my God. The Bible says in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4, when they poured their hearts out before the Lord, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. It was trembling with the power of God. I sat up this morning at 1 a.m. praying and calling on the Lord about this message. I said, God, I want a shaking. I want a trembling. I want us to feel the reverberation of the Spirit of God in each of our lives as we pour our hearts out to you. God, don't let it be church as usual. Don't let it be life as usual. Let it be, oh God, a time when we can see the mighty hand of God working in our lives. With every head bowed, let me ask this question. You say, preacher, I don't know. I'm under dominion. I feel like there's something over me. I feel like there's something that has authority over me. It might be thoughts. It might be a past experience. It might be a memory. It might be unforgiveness. It might be you're addicted to cigarettes. You may be addicted to some other form of a thing, whether it be pornography, whether it be some kind of anger, whether it be some kind of alcoholism. It doesn't matter, but you're under dominion. And this morning you want to have dominion. You want to shift the dominion in your life. The only way to shift that is to do what God said in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. The only way to do that is to be like Elijah, who put his face down between his legs and cried out to God until it rained. The only way to do that is for us to pour our hearts out before the Lord, like Hannah, who was so inebriated with the Spirit of God that they thought she was intoxicated with alcohol. Be like that woman with the issue of blood who said in her heart, I've released myself from all the options in my life. I have no place to go. I have no plan B. The only thing is God and God alone. And like David in the midst of a wilderness, you cry out and say, you alone, O God, are my God. And early in the morning, early in the situation, will I seek you and you alone. Today, you're in this room and you say, I want to pour my heart out to God. I want to see the shift of dominion take place in my life and in my family. This is the moment that God has built an altar. This is a moment and a time when an altar's been constructed. All we need now, all we need now is a sacrifice, Father. All we need now is a sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice, Father? The Lord Himself shall provide. I've determined today that I'm going to be that sacrifice. When Jesus preached in Jerusalem, they were about to stone Him. He said they walked across the Kidron Valley into the Mount of Olives. If you know anything about Israel, Kidron Valley is just a small valley. You could almost throw a stone across. Then it's on the eastern gate, the Mount of Olives on the other side. He crossed the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley is where the sacrifice, the blood of the sacrificial lambs flowed into the Kidron. Jesus crossed over sacrifice. And He went into the foothills of Mount Olives. Mount Olive is the place of promised blessing. But immediately when He got there, they came to arrest Him. Not only is it a place of sacrifice, not only is it a place of promised blessing, there will be spiritual warfare over your life. But I want you to know today that you have dominion on the hills of sacrifice and the promises of God. No one looking around, you say, Pastor, I need to take dominion in my life. I want you to just stand right there where you are. Whatever area it is, this is the Holy Spirit calling you, not me. This is not my message, this is God's. And this is something you've struggled with, and you said, you know what, on this day, the 16th of December 2007, about 1:32 in the afternoon, I'm going to allow God to take dominion. Others are going to say with me, Pastor, I need to pour out my heart before God. I need to let go of the other options. If that's you, I want you to stand. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, and it's not everybody. But the Holy Spirit will speak to you if it's you. And I want you to stand. I got to let go of the other options. I got to let go of the other options. Those of you that are standing, quickly just move from where you are. Just find a place around the front of this altar. This is an altar here. It might be an embassy suites. It might be a conference room. But it's an altar now. And just bow before the Lord. And just stand and lift your hands. And begin to declare to the Lord, Father, I thank You that You have given me dominion. You have given me all authority, all power. You've given me, oh God, the ability, oh Jesus, to be above and not beneath. And I cry out to You right now, Father. And I thank You for the victory, Lord Jesus. And I give You praise and give You glory. I want to lay hands on every one of you. I want to pray for you today. I believe that God is going to transfer something into your spirit. In Jesus' name. Father God, in Jesus' name. Church, would you pray with us? Would you reach a hand up or out toward these? Father, in the name of Jesus, I cry out. And I say, Lord God, dominion. Take dominion. Dominion! In Jesus' name. In every realm of your life. Never again shall anyone or anything take dominion over you. Never again. This is your moment of victory. There's a shift in your life. You are taking dominion now. Receive that dominion in Jesus' name. I declare now dominion over your life. Dominion over every part of your family life, over every thought. I take that thought with you captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you alone, Jesus, you alone, God, will take dominion. Thank you, Lord. You will take dominion through them, through the servant of God, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, somebody pray with me in the Holy Spirit. Come on, worship the Lord. Go ahead, sing that song together as a congregation. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I pray now that there will be dominion. Dominion in your kingdom, in your domain, the domain that God has given you on the north side, east, and west. When any person enters in, you will have dominion. In Jesus' name, I declare now, you will have dominion. You will have dominion. You will have dominion over these things that have been trying to dominate you. God has raised you to have dominion. It's in your soul. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And you shall be filled. Hunger and thirst. Crave as a deer panteth for the water brook. So my soul panteth after you, O God. It's going to overcome the natural instincts. And there is going to be a liberty and a freedom in your life. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. I believe now, God, there will be a great release in this man's heart, God. Out of his belly today, Lord. Out of his spirit today. Victory! In Jesus' name. That there is, oh God, a power shift coming. It's here. It started today. It's been coming to you. And today the shift has taken place. Just like the persistent widow. God said, I will do for you. When the judge will not do, I will do. And fairness, justice will come to you. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for it. Hallelujah.
None but Jesus.
I bless you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for that victory today, Lord. I bless you, Lord, because you will take dominion, Lord. You will take dominion, oh God, every area of your life, your past, your present, and your future.
There is no one else.
Be free. Come out of captivity in Jesus' name. You will walk in dominion from this day forward in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I bless this woman of God. And I say, Lord, that she will walk upright and in dominion. We thank you today, Lord. Hallelujah. That you have spoken, God, this word, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every thought, every word that's ever been spoken to you, no longer will it have dominion over you. Take authority over it right now. It's like a swirling wind in your mind. No more. No more. I see that swirling wind. Peace be still, I declare. Now you will have dominion over those thoughts. Because you will pour your heart out to God 100%. Now, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father Patricia. God bless you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God. She is a woman heart after God. Father, that she is the dough at the water brook. She is the dough at the water brook. Now, Lord, speak, oh God, into her belly. And I call her out of her belly, out of her soul, to have dominion in the realm of the supernatural. In the realm of the supernatural, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, bless. God, bless right now. Come in agreement, Father. Because no more will the enemy torment you. No more will the enemy come against that. We say, now. We've got the key. We know that we're going to pour our hearts out together. There is a dominion shift. Just like a persistent widow, there's a dominion shift. Hallelujah.
Because there is no one else.
Over in the past will begin to cease. It will become easy. It will become easy because you walk in this dominion. Your heart is so poured out to God, and God has seen your heart's cry. You will impart.
I am yours, and you are mine. I am yours, and you are mine. I am yours, and you are mine.
Oh Father God, take yours. And force, and by the time it hits the foothills, it shall be a sweeping force of power that will take away every obstacle, every opposing force. Take dominion now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I bless them. Tom and Kim, bless them. Father, we declare, Lord, that they will have dominion in all realms of their life. Lord, their home, that you and you alone are their God. Father, they've been released into dominion. Thoughts and things and events and people who have had dominion over you shall no longer have dominion over your life. Those things in your past history, even as a child, even as a young adult, no, those things are over. They're gone. They're washed away by the power of the blood. And now today, because your heart is seeking God, because your heart is being poured out, you are in dominion. Every part of your domain, you walk with Christ. You rule and reign with Him. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for my servant of God, this woman of God. I lay hands on her. I bless her now. And I say, Father, there is a growing dominion. God's not even started to be done with you yet in dominion. You are walking in the dominion in your place and your domain that has begun to cause the enemy to flee seven ways. You have caused him to run and to flee. And you will continue in your pursuit. You must pursue. You must continue to stand and declare that today you, like the woman with the issue of blood, like Hannah who cried out and poured out her heart, said in her heart, you've said many things in your heart. God hears your heart. He hears the voice of your heart. And He is declaring to you today, dominion! Dominion over your past, dominion over everything in that place of captivity, dominion. We declare it now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody stand up, please. Everybody stand up, please. I want you to lay your hand on somebody's shoulder this morning, please. Father God, right now, Lord. We are so grateful for your presence. And Lord, as I touch my friend, as I touch my spouse, as I touch my family member, Lord, this is not an ordinary prayer. This is not an ordinary blessing. This is agreement of dominion. So I pray for my friend now. Dominion in their thinking. Dominion in their speaking. Dominion in their walking. Dominion, oh God, in whatever they engage in, Lord Jesus, that they will never see themselves as inferior, defeated, or overcome. But Father, they will see themselves as above only and not beneath, walking in complete authority and dominion in their life. And now, Lord, I thank you for blessing them. In Jesus' name. Now lift both hands with me, please. Just one more time, say, you and you alone, O God, are my God. You alone are my God, Father. Now worship your God. Come on, open up your mouth and worship your God. Come on, worship your God. Worship your God. Worship your God. Worship your God. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we send the word to Tracy right now. Complete the work, Father. You get all the glory. Complete the work. Bless little baby Mia. Bless brother Joe, Father Thornton. Bless him. Raise him up, God, strong. Hallelujah. Raise up Debbie, God. Let her be a testimony. We curse cancer. We curse growths. We curse sickness, maladies, illness in any way, God. We curse it now in Jesus' name. We take dominion over it. Colds, flus, emphysema, pneumonia. God, we take authority over it. We thank you that we are the healed protecting our health. That we walk, oh God, in complete, complete dominion in you. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because we're so new, it'd be good instead of running away if you can take 2 minutes and introduce yourself to somebody. Let them know who you are and where you're from. And also check out the desk. We've got cell groups meeting Wednesday night. And we want you to know that Highland Heights, Solon, Euclid, there are addresses out there. My cell group will be reconvening again after the holidays. If you want to be a part of it, I meet on the off Wednesday night. You can meet with us. We believe in discipleship. We believe in impartation. Drive very carefully. It's really rough out there. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. See you next time right here at Church on the North Coast.